life-saving care for children both in Evansville and Indianapolis. It's the Riley Hospital Story. I'm David James, and next on 2 Main Street, how the Riley Walkathon has been funding this life-saving work for nearly 30 years. We'll hear stories from local families, how a speedy diagnosis leads to immediate care with a much brighter outcome, how little girls Francis and Meredith beat the odds. The Walkathon is virtual, but you can still help out by going online. And where will the local dollars raised be spent? My guests include a local mom who's very grateful to Riley, also a pediatric nurse practitioner, and the Kiwanis Walkathon Chair. 2 Main Street is next, presented by Jeffrey Berger of Berger Wealth Services at Baird Private Wealth Management. From the WNIN Public Media Center in downtown Evansville, I'm David James, and this is 2 Main Street. And speaking of Main Street, I remember my previous walks through downtown Evansville with the local Kiwanis Club members and their families. Me, my wife Susan, and we brought along our healthy daughter, Lauren, along as we raised money for Riley Children's Hospital. Great fun, a lot of memories, and there was a calliope playing when I was leading the parade, and we followed the music from the community center all the way through downtown with the kids clinging onto their balloons as we made our way through the downtown district and back to the community center. And I was honored to start the parade, at least I think 2 years. And it was the downtown Kiwanis Club. My wife was a member there, and Glenn Claiball corralled me to be the parade marshal. It was a lot of fun. Now, the Southwind Division of the Kiwanis is sponsoring its 29th Riley Walk along with Deaconess Riley Children's Services. Got an okay with that. The event is February 27th, just around the corner. And like most fundraisers during the COVID-19 pandemic, the event is virtual. So how do you have a virtual walk? I have several guests to tell us all about the Riley Walk, also the importance of Riley Children's Hospital, and a personal story from a local mom whose child was a former patient at Riley. So let's start with the walk itself, supported by 9 local Kiwanis clubs in Vandenberg, Warwick, and Posey counties. Joanne Loggle, is that right? Loggle?
It's perfect.
Is the Riley Walk Committee Chair. And Brandy Neely is here. She is a Riley nurse practitioner. And later we'll hear from Abby Hipp, whose daughter Frances was a patient at Riley. So Joanne, how can folks support this important fundraiser?
Well, thank you, David. This walk has been going on, as you said, this is the 29th year, and so as time has passed, we've gotten technologically savvy. So we have a website, and it's www.rileywalkathon.com. And so if a person is interested in making a donation or being a sponsor, we have sponsorship levels as well of $250 and higher, they go to that website, and all the information is right there.
Of course, Riley Hospital is in Indianapolis, but there's also a Deaconess Riley Services in Evansville. We'll talk about that in a moment. Now, the money raised, I understand, is going to go toward the Maternity and Newborn Health Initiative at Riley. So what's that all about?
The Indiana Kiwanis has really supported Riley Hospital for over 100 years. In fact, even before the hospital was built up there, before it was named for James Whitcomb Riley, the Kiwanis clubs were raising money for what was going to be a children's hospital. So there's a long history of the clubs in Indiana, the Kiwanis clubs, supporting Riley. Right now, we're in a 4-year initiative to raise $1 million as Indiana Kiwanians, $250,000 a year, to fund 12 doctors, these maternal fetal medicine specialist. Up until this fall, babies could not be born at Riley Hospital. That will change with a maternity tower that's going to open this October. And so this endowment will fund those specialists going forward to deal with women who have hard pregnancies or have, it's known that they're going to have problems, the baby's going to not do well. So the parents can come and the child can be born there right away. So this money that we're raising from the walk is our little Kiwanis in Southern Indiana effort to contribute to that $250,000 goal this year.
Of course, Indiana is ranked pretty low among infant mortality. We have too many babies that are, that don't make it. And now, Brandy Neely is with the Deaconess Riley Services. And what do you do there, Brandy? You're a nurse practitioner? What does that mean?
So I am actually a pediatric nurse practitioner. So I only take care of younger kids. So I don't do big people. So what my role is at Riley, at the Deaconess Riley, is I take care of the NICU developmental follow-up clinic. So we see in that clinic, we see kids who kind of have a rough start in life. So kids who have spent time in the NICU, you know, regardless if they're 5 days or they're 100 days, you know, it is known that those children can have developmental delays. So we start seeing these kids usually our increments are kind of like 4, 9, 12, and 18 months, and those are their corrected ages. So, you know, when a child is born, if they're born early, then they have a chronological age and a corrected age. So we follow those kids' corrected ages to make sure that they just stay on target developmentally, and if they're not, then we get them the services that they need to help get them caught up.
Now, before, these children would have to go to Indianapolis for treatment?
Correct.
Oh, but now they can be treated here at the Evansville facility.
Absolutely.
Now, where is that facility?
So it's at Gateway. So just about everything seems children-related is at Gateway. And it is in the new MOB building.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many children do you see on a regular basis there?
So I typically see, and for the developmental clinic, I am there like 1.5 days. And on the first day, I typically see 9 patients. And then on my second day, I typically see 4 to 5.
Now, these patients, are they just from the Evansville area? Are they from Illinois or Kentucky, or regional?
It's regional. Okay. Yes, we see the majority of them, I would say, are local. Mm-hmm. But all surrounding, you know, tri-state, we take these kids. I have one mom who drives like 2 hours.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So how has COVID-19 affected the children's services at Deaconess?
Well, of course, you know, we still see children. I mean, that's our job. We see sick children, but they all have to wear a mask. And I think the biggest difference is that now we only allow one parent to come back with the child, unless they have twins or triplets, and then we do allow, you know, another parent to come back. But typically it's just one parent back in the room with the child.
Now, back to Joanne. Now, the goal, I think, is to raise $30,000 locally from this walk.
That would be great. We have, over these first 28 years, raised $478,000. So, and I'm happy to say that we have raised $23,000 already this year. So we're going to surpass the $500,000. But it would be great if $30,000 would be achieved in this time, given all the struggles that are going on financially.
Now, we were talking about the infant mortality rate. I think Indiana is ranked 7th in the nation for infant mortality. And so why is that, guys? Why is Indiana doing such a poor job with infant mortality?
Well, I'm sure that it's lack of education in some cases. Absolutely. Probably it's people that are just not savvy to certain signs, perhaps, that there are some issues with the pregnancy. It is not a good sign, and I'm told that 600 babies, even after they're born, don't live to their first birthday in Indiana. And so that's a problem as well. The baby gets born, but again, if there's lack of cleanliness, lack of, again, I'm going to use the word savviness again, just education about how to care for that child. Mm-hmm. It's a young mom. I mean, there are just a lot of reasons I think you can imagine in our society why people don't know what and how to do until maybe it's too late.
Brandi Neely, you want to weigh in on that?
I do. So one thing that I see, and actually I am working with one of the neonatologists to get education, because that absolutely is lack of education, is I feel a big component. I've been in pediatrics, this is my 20th year. And so even in 2020 in Vandenberg County, we had 6 infant deaths for unsafe sleeping practices. And when I have the parents who come into the NICU, one of my questions I always ask is, where does that child sleep? And the parents are like, well, in, with me, or I'll let them sleep in their swing because they spit up and this. And so education, those are unsafe. And when I remember one lady very vividly, she said, well, I told my mother that I shouldn't let my child sleep in the swing, and my mother's response was, I've raised 4 kids, and they all slept in the swing, and they're fine. And so, again, it's education. So you see that cycle of grandparents did it, mm-hmm. so they tell mom it's okay, and so mom really gonna, a lot of the times, are gonna listen to their parent, ahead of the healthcare professional, but there just needs to be lots more education.
My guests are Joanne Loggle with the Kiwanis. She's the chair of the Walkathon, and Brandi Neely, she's a deaconess, a pediatric nurse practitioner with Riley Services at Deaconess Hospital. Of course, the big event is February 27th, a virtual event, and go to rileywalkathon.com to register. Joanne, so why did Kiwanis choose Riley to support?
Well, the Kiwanis mission is to improve the world, one community and one child at a time. And so when over 100 years ago, when the need was known up in Indianapolis about a children's hospital, those far-thinking, civic-minded people said, we want to get behind this, even all those many years ago. And through the years, it's just evolved. And if you go to a Kiwanis meeting anywhere, there always will be discussions about how to help kids at local schools with certain academic problems or raising money for the YMCA for a particular program, perhaps. I mean, Kiwanis just does believe that kids need Kiwanis. And that's the hashtag, kids need Kiwanis, because we want them, little children and young adults, children to succeed. So it's just a reach out, and it's a just an ongoing tradition that's been a part of Kiwanis for all these years.
And Kiwanis, of course, is a global organization.
It is. It is in all many countries around the world. And we have about 175 clubs here in Indiana. And there are these 9 down in this southwest area that are in a little grouping called the Southwind Division. And all those many years ago, you mentioned Glenn Claybaugh. Mm-hmm. He and a man named Mike Carroll, who was in the Northside Club at that time, they had, Riley was always talked about and always talked about. And so those two men said, we need to do something down here to support that hospital. There was no real effort. And so he got some Boy Scouts to agree to do a walk, and it started very modestly. I think they raised $1,100 their first year. And so then other clubs have gotten on board, and the walk has grown over time. Last year we did raise $37,000 from this, and that was a high water mark. And we're real proud of that. So
hopefully with this vaccine, we can have people actually pounding the pavement next, the 30th walk.
Exactly. And there will be a 30th walk, and it will be at Eastland Mall, where it's always been in the past, with lots of activities as part of the program, and Riley stories and fun things, music and clowns and all that, like you mentioned. So, yes, we look forward to gathering again in person.
Well, coming up, the personal stories that have moved my guests over the years, and we'll talk to a local mom whose daughter was a patient at Riley. I'm David James. This is 2 Main Street, presented by Jeffrey Berger of Berger Wealth Services at Baird Private Wealth Management. We'll be right back. Welcome back to 2 Main Street. I'm David James, and the 29th annual Riley Walk for Children is February 27th, sponsored by the Kiwanis Clubs of Southwestern Indiana in partnership with Deaconess Riley Children's Services. The walk is the largest Kiwanis Riley fundraising event in Indiana. The local goal, $30,000, and over $480,000 has been raised so far in the past 28 years. Because of COVID-19, this year's walk will be virtual. To register, go to rileywalkathon.com. And Brandy Neely joins us again. She's with Deaconess Riley Services in Evansville. And joining us is Abby Hipp. She's a local mom whose daughter, Frances, is a former patient at Riley. So, Abby, welcome. Now, tell us about your daughter, Frances. What was her diagnosis?
Thank you. Thanks for having me. She was diagnosed with a rare E. coli, and that progressed to hemolytic uremic syndrome, HUS. So it was kind of wild. It was a wild ride for sure.
Well, how long did it take them to realize what was going on?
Very quickly. We were super grateful and impressed. She was home and had no fever, no other symptoms other than diarrhea. And kind of just something about it didn't feel right. So I reached out to my pediatrician, and we went to the pediatric urgent care at Deaconess and saw Dr. Toler and gathered a sample. I drove all the way back to Hopstadt. And he said, I'm going to need you to come back in an hour or so. The lab contacted us, expedited it and contacted us and said, we need you to come bring her back. We need to hospitalize her and get her hydrated. And then we saw Dr. Kitch, and we collected a urine sample, and she, same thing again, said she has HUS. You need to take her to Riley. So my husband came in. He said, okay, we're going to go to Riley. So I'm thinking, oh, we're going to go. Mm-hmm. We're just going to move rooms. I didn't think we were going. And he said, do you want to go by a helicopter? Or do you want to go by an ambulance with Frances? I said, oh, okay, we are going. We're going all the way to Indy. So within hours, they had us go in the right direction, which was crucial because her disease progresses very quickly.
How old was Frances when she was diagnosed?
She was 3.
Mm-hmm. So when you got to Indianapolis,
yes.
What happened then?
We got admitted right away. It was on the weekend, and Dr. Schwader came in specifically to see us and talked us through the entire process and the progression of the disease. He told us to the date we would be there 2 weeks, told us everything to expect, and it was exactly what we experienced. It was super impressive and comforting to know that they knew exactly, they'd seen it before, they had experienced it before, and it was comforting as the parents to know she's in good hands.
So how did Frances handle all this?
A rock star. She's a rock star. She has come out of this experience a whole new woman. She has a confidence about her that she'll do awesome things.
Now, when you got this diagnosis and you found out you had to go to Riley in Indianapolis, did you and your husband freak out?
Oh, absolutely. I had dropped my other 3 children off with my parents thinking, oh, we're going to go maybe for an overnight stay. And he was like, you ride with her and I'll call your parents. And on a whim, they took the rest of my children for 2 weeks.
Wow.
So I was very grateful to have that support.
Is there a cure for this?
There is no cure. It's supportive care. So luckily, we caught it soon. She didn't experience any seizures or any of the advanced, because a lot of times you think it's diarrhea, and then all of a sudden they start having seizures, and by that point it's progressed.
Mm-hmm.
So we caught it early.
So what kind of therapy did she have?
Oh, she had blood transfusions. She had multiple surgeries. She had dialysis is the main treatment that
now,
helps to
Brandy alleviate. Neely is here. She's a nurse practitioner, pediatric nurse practitioner. So is this rare to see this, Brandy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, I've been in peds for 20 years, and I have never personally had a patient with it.
Mm-hmm. So the protocol sounded pretty impressive to you, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So the whole idea is to identify as quickly as possible and get some treatment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, like I said, we see those rare things because I also work in the urgent care.
I say we've seen you there.
Yeah. Yeah. But between the urgent care and Deaconess, the one thing is, like she just said, something didn't feel right. And that's universally, you listen to parents. Mm-hmm. Parents know their kids better than anyone. And so for me, if I see something, I'm like, this just doesn't seem right, and I'm not certain what it is, I'm calling somebody who's smarter than me to say, hey, what do we do with this? So
let's identify what she was diagnosed with. HUS, is that what you said?
Correct, yes. And hemolytic uremic syndrome.
Okay, all right. And she's doing well now?
She is, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's going to go for a follow-up in March to go back up to Riley to see Dr. Schwanner. So
now,
it's been a year since he's seen her.
Really? Does she receive any treatment at the local gateway?
No, not currently.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, so the importance of Riley in your family's life, obviously very important right now. And you would tell people to support this walk, definitely.
Yes, please. Please, please, please. Walk safely. But please walk and sign up and help. You never know when you're going to need them.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you get a chance to bond with any other families up there at Riley?
She was in quarantine. We were separated. We were isolated, I should say. Quarantine's the hot word these yeah. days. Mm-hmm. But we were isolated, so we didn't really get a chance to. We saw passing in the hallway, but we didn't really get a chance to meet any other families.
So it's Frances in school now?
She is. Yeah, she's in school.
Well, good. What does she like to do? Tell us about her.
Oh, Frances, she's spunky for sure. If you know Miss Frances, full of spunk and life, and loves her siblings mm-hmm. and her family, and loves going to school and loves people. She was a little worried she'd have to stay home from school. She was missing her friends.
Now, we're talking to Abby Hipp, whose daughter Frances was treated at Riley, and Brandy Neely. She's a Deaconess pediatric nurse practitioner. So, Brandy, this seems like it's you hear a lot of these stories, and obviously you want to hear the good outcomes. And,
absolutely.
And that has to be gratifying to all of the staff to
absolutely.
Hear these stories.
Absolutely. My own son spent a couple days at Riley, and he utilizes the Deaconess Riley. So as a mom who utilizes this as well, from the nurse practitioner side of it, you know, I've seen the good things that Deaconess Riley does here locally. So yeah, we absolutely need money to help for those who need these services but sometimes can't afford it, or, you know, I had a mom last week and her daughter had to go to Riley for some treatment, and she's a single mom with four children, and, you know, we were able to right then provide her with some gas vouchers, you know, so good things, whether it's, you know, you need a little bit of money or money to help get through while your child is hospitalized to help with child care or, you know, whatever, there's money there because of walks like this.
Now, Brandon, tell us about your son's journey.
Yeah. So my son is adopted, but I've had him since birth, so he's mine. But when he was in sixth grade, I believe, he got really, really sick and just had this intermittent vomiting and diarrhea, and it went on for, I don't know, couple weeks. And so we were back and forth with his pediatrician, and one morning he's up and he's getting ready for school, and next thing I hear is, Mama! And I go in, and he is peeing blood. And, of course, trying to be, I'm like, holy cow, what is, this is not normal. While trying to still be, I'm like, buddy, it's okay. You know, it's all right. Trying to, you know, be kind of stoic for him to not get him upset. So contacted his pediatrician and went back in, and he said, well, I think it's just from, you know, him being sick, and but let's watch him. Well, over a course of about 6 weeks, he went from like 92 to 77 pounds. And so I'm just like, okay. And his, God love his pediatrician, but he knows what I do for a living, and we did a lot of things by phone for convenience for me. And finally I called, I said, this, something is not right. There is something not right with him. So we go into, they admit him. He had multiple tests done locally, and everything comes back okay. Still can't figure out what's going on, but he's still doing the vomiting. And so eventually we found, I was going through some paperwork to get him to the specialist, and I called the pediatric gastroenterologist that I work with. I said, okay, I'm calling you as a freaked out mom, mm-hmm. not as your nurse, but what does this mean? So come to find out, Reed had a parasite. Yeah, it's called Entamoeba histolytica, which you see a lot in third world countries. So we kind of finally figured out that he had had been in a lake at the end of September, and they laid dormant. And I didn't know much about Entamoeba histolytica, but the gastroenterologist, she was just like, this, you just don't ever see this. You just don't see it. So anyway, he, we had found it because the hospitalist that saw him was from Syria and had seen it. Mm-hmm. And so he ran the test, but then we got discharged and somehow it kind of got missed. So, but we kept having urinating blood. And so at that point, one of the Riley docs that comes here and sees patients, I said, what do we do with this? He said, well, the urinating blood, that is just not normal. So we went to Riley. We spent 2 days up there. He had a kidney biopsy, and we found that Reed has a condition called IgA nephropathy. So in your kidneys, you have lots of called glomeruli, and they're like the filter factors of the kidney. And his just don't work properly. So that's where the, when, so we manage it with diet and not a lot of salt and not a lot of caffeine. So nothing that acts as a diuretic to help keep his kidneys functioning at their maximum potential. But we see the nephrologist at Riley now once a year. At Deaconess Riley, we see him once a year.
It's such a random thing, just swimming in a lake random. Like everybody does.
It is. And the one thing that I found, you know, I watch these weird TV shows and the monsters inside me.
Sure.
this is many months after we found Reed's diagnosis with the Entamoeba histolytica. What the little narrator, there was somebody on the show who got it from Costa Rica, and he said, Entamoeba histolytica, outside of malaria, is the deadliest parasite on the planet that kills more than 100,000 people every year. So then, I mean, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning because I don't sleep very. So I go down and I'm like loving on my kid, and you know, because you just really don't know. Mm-hmm. Because what Entamoeba histolytica does, it lays so those parasite, they can lay dormant for up to 6 months, but then what they do is once they go, they start laying this larva, and the larva then goes to the kidneys or the brain and causes abscesses, and if it's not caught, I mean you'll die. So I'm thankful, very thankful that this was caught.
Well, that's the expertise
right.
of these physicians and specialists at Riley that identified this. And, of course, in a lot of these third world countries, you didn't have that expertise to find out what's going on.
Right.
So that basically saved your son's life.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Now, let's go back to Abby Hip and Francis. Now, you said she's going back for some more therapy. Is that correct?
Yeah, she's going back for a checkup.
Mm-hmm. So what's down the road for her? Is she a normal life, hopefully?
I hope so. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we continue get to do the yearly checkups. This will be her first one. So it had been, you know, we went every few days, and then you go on every week, and mm-hmm. then every few weeks. And then, so it's a lot of trips back and forth to Riley. And then we did a 6-month last March, and then so this will be our first time where you've been away for a year.
But no symptoms or anything?
She seems fine, so we'll see what her kidneys are functioning mm-hmm. like when we get up there and have her all fully checked out. So hopefully she'll just continue to do yearly checkups and mm-hmm. just kind of see how her kidneys are functioning as she gets older and the demand.
I noticed the name Abby Hip. Is that the Hip Nursery?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Well, I was thinking Hopstot and the yes. name of Hip. That kind of goes together with the Hip Nursery.
Yes, sir, it does. Yeah, that's my husband's family.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, we always love the sculptures along the
yes.
highway.
The pink elephant are my kiddos' favorites.
Yeah. So,
mine too. And the buffalo.
All right. I digress. What's the story behind those critters?
You know, that you'd have to ask Miss Eula. You have to stop in and talk to Eula about that. She'll give you the hot tip on that.
Well, those are definitely some of the landmarks of Southern Indiana. We enjoy that.
Yes.
Well, all the best to the Hips and Frances. We hope yes. she continues to recover very well.
Thank you.
And thanks for sharing the story, yes. Abby Hip. And we're going to be back with more of 2 Main Street as we talk about the Kiwanis Walkathon coming up February 27th. To register, go to RileyWalkathon.com. And to support this this important cause, Riley Children's Hospital, not only in Indianapolis, but Riley Children's Services here at Evansville's Deaconess Gateway. I'm David James. This is 2 Main Street. We'll be right back. 2 Main Street, presented by Jeffrey Berger of Berger Wealth Services at Bayard Private Wealth Management.
Awesome.
Here's more information on the HUS diagnosis that sent Frances Hip to Riley's Children's Hospital. Her mom, Amy, says the E. coli bacteria strain, a Shiga toxin-producing type, led to the severe complication hemolytic uremic syndrome, or HUS. From 2 to 7% of these E. coli patients develop HUS. The infection destroys red blood cells, leading to possible kidney failure. In the U.S., HUS is the principal cause of kidney failure in children. Again, Amy Hip credits the staff at Riley for the supportive therapy that saved her daughter's life. Welcome back to 2 Main Street. I'm David James, and if you are just joining us, COVID-19 has forced another local fundraising event to go virtual, and of course, everything has gone virtual, I think. We had our WNIN gala. It was virtual a few weeks ago. This is the 29th annual Riley Walkathon for Riley Children's Hospital, the Southwind Division of the Indiana District of the Kiwanis, encouraging your support by going to RileyWalkathon.com to register for the event, which is February 27th. Now, just a few moments ago, we heard from Abby Hip. She told us about her daughter's treatment at Riley. And joining me again is Joanne Loggle, committee chair for the walk, and nurse practitioner Brandy Neely. So, ladies, this community is very fortunate to have the Deaconess Riley connection. It saves a lot of trips to Indianapolis, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yes.
And we were just talking that you have no idea how many people this affects.
Right. And one thing I don't think that's quite been mentioned yet is the fact that there are specialists from Riley, Indianapolis, that come down here and see patients on a regular, ongoing basis to save those families, maybe from Southern Illinois or our surrounding areas, the trip up there. So there's not only are there people at Deaconess Children's Services, but there are those specialists that also are an influence and help see patients here. So having that has just been enormous. There are several stories of families who've gotten all their treatments here because of seeing those specialists who come here instead of the family having to drive up there. So, yes, we're a very lucky community to have that asset right here.
Now, Brandy, of course, I mean, it must be very rewarding for you to work at a facility like this that helps so many families. And a lot of these families definitely are financially strapped and they couldn't afford these services on their own.
Right, right, absolutely. And so like Joanne mentioned, the Deaconess Riley, you know, it is a collaboration with the nurse practitioners here. And so with... At Deaconess Riley now, just last year, over 6,000 children were seen at Deaconess Riley. There's 14 specialists that come. I think there's 20 different Riley physicians within that 14 within those 14 specialties. But then we have one local physician who is here full time, the pediatric cardiologist. She is stationed at Deaconess Gateway, and then there's three nurse practitioners there as well, and then they employ one full-time social worker. Plus, they have a, which everyone knows, pediatric mental health is lacking across the entire nation, but they do have child adolescent behavior specialists who are also at Riley. So lots and lots of specialists and specialties are encompassed and housed within Riley to serve lots of people in our community.
I know on the website, the Deaconess Riley Services website, there's a vignette story about Meredith, who was treated by a pediatric cardiologist. Mm-hmm. And it's quite a story. You want to check that out and just go to the website there. And it's incredible. And the pediatric cardiologist, I can't think of her name right now.
Dr. Elsha Shari.
Yeah, that's who it is. And she talks about she had a brother who also had a similar heart problem to what Heather had. Mm-hmm. And so she could relate to that. And the fact that... she has kind of bonded with Meredith, and Meredith showed up in a doctor's outfit and actually took the doctor's, I think, blood pressure and had a stethoscope and everything. And she wants to be a doctor and help children as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So these are some great stories. And there's some bonding going on, definitely, with these children.
It's hard not to.
Yeah.
It's hard not to, when you see these kiddos on an ongoing basis, and but the joy is again just watching them grow and become sweet little babies, and the gratefulness of the parent.
Mm-hmm. So do they ever come back and see you?
Sometimes.
Do you get follow-ups on these children?
Absolutely. One of my previous where I was previously employed like a in a specialty clinic as well. His mother and I, our sons are similar in age, but her son has a mitochondrial defect, and so he can't go to school, but she's a phenomenal mom. But she and I are very, very good friends. I mean, she's one of my dear, dear friends. Mm-hmm. And it's, like I said, it's hard. You learn in nursing school, you don't cross certain boundaries in this, but it's hard.
Well, you're a mom, and you're talking
exactly.
to other moms.
Absolutely.
There's some bonding there.
Absolutely.
Now, Joanne, you were talking earlier about the Kiwanis clubs across Indiana are raising funds for a maternal fetal medicine specialist endowment.
Correct.
Now, that's the one with the tower you're talking
about? Yes, these special doctors who are, that's their specialty, is taking care of before little babies are born, and at that point they are born, to make sure they get a healthy start. This endowment will fund them so that in this maternal tower that's being built, there are experts in that field, which is very specialized, of course. I mean, it's not something just any obstetrician would know. I mean, these are these are these specialists. And so the money being raised is to make sure that those good doctors are employed and working for the kids at Riley who will be born there or who come maybe after being born.
Well, I'm just blown away by the generosity of people because, you know, people are funding St. Jude's
right.
and the Shriners Children's
right.
Hospital and the Burn Clinic.
Right.
And these are all helping children
right.
and the compassion that people have. And
right.
But these personal stories are what touch people's hearts.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the feedback, some of the feedback you've heard, Joanne?
Oh, I've just, you know, in doing the walk here the last 3 years, have tried to have some, quote, Riley stories at the walk. And so I've gotten some moms to tell, just like Abby did, you know, what happened to your child and what happened when they went up there and so on. I've also volunteered at the Radiothon that used to go on here that WIKY did. And there was one family I'll not forget, their child died, but they still felt so invested in their experience, even though it didn't turn out the way they wanted it, that they would come back every year and there were big supporters of that Radiothon. And so it just touches you to know that you want every story to be a happy ending, but they aren't. But it's so wonderful that we have the resource here for our state residents, and St. Jude's is wonderful, and the Cleveland Clinic is wonderful, and Cincinnati Children's Hospital. They're all needed. I mean, we need all of these different supports to make sure kids just do have a chance. And I think everybody has a soft spot for children.
Definitely. Now, again, let's plug how you can support the Riley Walkathon, and how can folks do that, Joanne?
Folks would go on their handy-dandy tablet or phone and go to www.rileywalkathon.com. And on that page, you can go ahead and just make a donation if you're so inclined. You can do one of the sponsorships that we have. We have $250, $500, $1,000, and $2,500 sponsorships. And in that will put your name on our website for the year. In times past, it would have put your name on our T-shirts that we would have had, would have give you signage at Eastland Mall. But this year, it's all just really virtual, so that if you do want to do a sponsorship, those levels are available. And we really have gotten many generous ones already to put us at, you know, at the level we are. So I encourage people just to consider that. I want to mention one thing I just found out yesterday. The New Harmony Kiwanis Club is going to actually do a walk in New Harmony on the 27th. They've created a map of 25 historic buildings in New Harmony that are 200 years old or older. And so they are going to rally people in New Harmony to come and make a donation, and they're going to walk around to these 25 locations and perhaps tell a little bit of the history of it. Many residents probably know the history of it, but some perhaps not. But anyway, their goal is to raise $2,000 for the mm-hmm. walk.
Well,
and so there is actually going to be a little walk, and I'm sure it'll be safely done in New Harmony, which is a way to do it. And if people want to walk actually in their neighborhoods and do it safely, and they want to send a video to our Facebook page, Riley Walk, we'll be happy to show it and or display it, put it on our website ultimately. So if people really want to walk, good. Go for it. If you want to walk virtually, that's okay too.
Now, as we wrap this up, Brandy Neely, you're, of course, on the front lines of this effort, and you mm-hmm. see the children coming in at the Deaconess Riley Children's Services. And so what's your final pitch to support the Riley Walkathon?
Well, like Joanne said, you know, everybody has a soft spot for kids. And, you know, when you have couples that, you know, they're so excited to have their first baby or their second baby, and then to find out, well, my child now has, we found my child has a genetic disorder or something that is going to need short-term higher level of care or even long-term higher levels of care, you know, that's very scary for parents, because you think, oh, we're just going to have this perfect baby, and now it's not. And, you know, those parents, they know the Deaconess Riley name. You know, anybody in the community, we know the Deaconess Riley name. And just to be able to provide services for that couple, or to make sure that that baby has early intervention. As we all know, early intervention is key. And to get that child in to maximize their potential, regardless of what their diagnosis is, I mean, it's crucial. And, you know, I've said my many, many years in pediatrics, this job is hard, but it's very rewarding. It's very satisfying. And there is nothing more rewarding than hearing a parent say, thank you for giving me back my child. Mm-hmm. And we do that because of walks like this that raise money so that those services can be provided here locally.
Wow. So go to RileyWalkathon.com. Mm-hmm. Ladies, thank you so much for sharing this story. The support of the Kiwanis is amazing, and the good work of the folks at the Deaconess Riley Children's Services. I'm David James. This is 2 Main Street, presented by Jeffrey Berger of Berger Wealth Services at Bayard Private Wealth Management. In our conversation about the Riley Walkathon, I mentioned the compelling story about a local patient named Meredith. Her journey, defying the odds, was featured on the Deaconess Riley website. I wanted to share the back-and-forth comments between Meredith's mom, Hannah, and Meredith's pediatric cardiologist, Dr. Huda El Shashari.
The nurses and the doctors in the NICU managed to let me hold her because we didn't know if that was going to be my last chance to hold her or not. We heard the helicopter lift off above us, and I knew that was my baby going, leaving the hospital without me. So as we're researching this, we're seeing case study after case study after case study. And again and again and again, it keeps saying, patient did not survive, patient did not survive, patient did not survive.
I remember the first day when I met with this family. They came to my office from Riley Hospital for Children. I explained to them how poor is the outcome of this condition. So I did not want to give them a lot of hopes because I don't know how going to be the clinical course. But I promised them that I will do my best to help this child.
And our first visit with Dr. El Shashari, she was so personable. She gave us a background, let us know her own story, which she shared very openly with us.
I felt she's like my own child. I am a mother too. I have a daughter, and I went through the same pain with our brother when he was little. And my brother was 6 months of age when he got respiratory viral illness, got sick. He got admitted to the intensive care unit immediately, and they told my family that he's in heart failure.
She has a wonderful relationship with Meredith. She has a wonderful relationship with us. She genuinely cares about Meredith. She genuinely cares about the outcome. And she does want the best for not only Meredith, but our entire family.
Meredith, she went through many cath procedures, but amazing how this girl is strong. And she comes to the office. She never cries. She follows my instruction, and all her upbringing has to do with that.
I was probably sick to my stomach the entire month before her third birthday, because that third birthday was a huge milestone. Most of the infants who are diagnosed with pulmonary vein stenosis don't make it that far. The only thing that's difficult with Meredith is it's so hard to have to get onto her for anything. She's been through so much. I can't tell her no. Yes, we'll just give her another piece of candy. It's fine. So she's a little bit more spoiled than I would say most three-year-olds, but she also goes through things that most three-year-olds don't. Very strong relationship with Meredith. Meredith adores her. Actually, yesterday I told her, you're going to go see Dr. El Shashari tomorrow. And Meredith said, Dr. El Shashari is my best friend.
I remember when she was around 1.5 years and 2 years of age, at that time when she started talking, She started saying my name. She would come to the office and she would be in the clinic running, and she would go under the chairs and she would be hiding from me. And I loved her and she loved me. It's work in progress. Hopefully in 1 year or so, we'll see her very healthy without needing any intervention, because she's still needing medication, needing cardiac cath procedure. So our goal is to stop all interventions and stop all medications and have her just go along with her life.
There were so many times where it was just wave after wave after wave. And there were so many times that I thought we were going to drown and that we weren't going to make it past that next wave. And then we did. I feel like it's starting to calm down now.
When she came to the office for follow-up, she came with an outfit of doctor, and she would bring her stethoscope and she asked to listen to me. And I played with her, of course. I was not thinking that she's serious, but she kept mentioning that. So I think I had a positive impact on her. I'm sure she wants to help other children like I did. So that's very rewarding to see that.
Defying the Odds, Meredith's story is just one of hundreds of personal accounts of families helped by Deaconess Riley Services and Riley Children's Hospital. The virtual walkathon is February 27th. You still have time to register. To do that, go to rileywalkathon.com. Again, my thanks to Joanne Loggle, representing the Southwind Division of Indiana Kiwanis. She's the committee chair of the walkathon. Also, Brandy Neely, Riley nurse practitioner at Deaconess Gateway Hospital, and Amy Hipp, who shared the story of her daughter, Frances, who received life-saving therapy at Riley Hospital. And finally, some history about Riley Children's Hospital. In 1917, an Indianapolis doctor suggested a children's hospital should be built as a memorial to Hoosier poet James Whitcomb Riley, who died in 1916. During his lifetime, James Whitcomb Riley was known as a children's poet, including his most famous works, Little Orphan Annie and The Raggedy Man. Riley Hospital opened in 1924, and over the decades, Riley has been offering world-class health care to children across the state. I'm David James, and this is 2 Main Street.